Welcome to season 25 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go. Welcome back. Another week to learn and grow and develop and get better. And that's exactly what we're going to do this week with my friend Laura Garnett. She just absolutely brings some fantastic insight today about careers and confidence and passion and what she calls the genius habit. So this is it's just a great show. And I really enjoyed her insight and being more thoughtful behind the work that we do. Doing the things that really stimulate our mind is essential in our careers. And I think you're going to get that from Laura today. Before we get there, we have a webinar on Thursday at 12 p.m. EST. That's April 23rd. If you're listening to this before that, you can go to learnloft.com, click on webinar to register for the free webinar called How to Stop Managing and Start Leading Your Remote Team. I'd love for you to be there. We have over 250 or 300 registrants already. It would be great if you're on there as well. Go ahead and do that at learnloft.com/webinar. I would be remiss to not mention that we're still in the middle of this coronavirus and all the things going on in our lives and our career. If you're out of work, I mean, if you've been furloughed or you've been let go, there is some great insight in this episode for you. So take the words in this episode seriously. You're in the right place. You're doing the right stuff. Continue to believe in yourself. If you're in an organization where you're going gangbusters and you're so busy, keep it up. My kids have a very important message for everybody listening.
Stay safe, stay healthy, and don't stop leading.
Do not.
Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've got an interesting story that goes way back through companies like Google and working for some awesome firms in your journey. How did you get to doing what you're doing right now, if no one's ever heard of Laura Garnett?
Well, it was a lot of trial and error. And it was from the main desire of creating my dream job. And so when I left the corporate world or literally got kicked out in the last financial crisis, we're now in another one, but the last one that we had, I made a commitment that I didn't think my dream job existed, that I was going to create it from scratch. And that's basically what I did. And I started from zero and tried a lot of things and kept pivoting until... And in the process, learning more about who I was and identifying my own zone of genius. And then it took me probably 2 to 3 years of complete exploration until I landed on what it is I do. And since then, it's been about building out and being focused and building what it is today.
Well, you wrote in The Genius Habit that it's often a blessing. You use that term blessing when you get fired or kicked out of a job. And there's a lot of people right now, either listening or know people that have been furloughed or kicked out of a job. Why do you call it a blessing?
Yeah, you know, and that's such a good thing to dig into given the time, the times that we're in. It's a blessing because, I mean, this situation is a little bit different. So let's say outside of the crisis. It's a blessing because when a door closes and someone else is saying this isn't the right job for you, it means it's not. Now, I believe that the best way to kind of figure out if something's right or wrong is for you, the individual, to understand if that is or isn't and make that decision to leave or not leave. But unfortunately, there's so much that goes into play with a job and the attachment and the fear of finding another one that keeps people in jobs that are wrong for them way longer than it's really healthy for them. And so when someone closes that door for you, it's it is something to be thankful for, because then you will make the move to find the thing that's right. Now, I think in the crisis today, obviously people are being laid off that, you know, there may not have been a job fit problem there. It's an economic problem. Mm-hmm. But I always think that when things happen unexpectedly in a negative way, it opens the door for opportunity. And even in this crisis, there can be opportunity in the act of losing your job, for sure.
Well, like anything, you get broken up with by a significant other, you get laid off, it hurts. It hurts in one place. It starts to kind of drill into that confidence that comes from within, that I'm not good enough, that I did something wrong. And because you've been laid off a few times or things that didn't go well, how did you regain your confidence that you could go do something else, that these brighter days were ahead, that this is going to be a blessing? And then how can a listener, if that's happened to them, or even if they're just struggling with confidence right now at all, what did you do and what can they do to kind of rebuild that confidence from within if it's been shaken?
Yeah. Well, I think, and that's another reason why being let go is an opportunity, in the sense that it's a time to take stock and how you're being, understanding who you are, and building something as important for success as your competence muscle. And for myself, you know, when I got laid off in the 2009 financial crisis, I was clear about what I wanted to do. I was not confident about myself or the value that I brought to the table. And it was the journey that allowed me to figure that out. But the first thing I did was I learned what it meant to be happy. And I learned that happiness is a practice and it is a skill. And so for anyone right now that is going through that, and again, that's also an important distinction, that when you get laid off or when you get let go or in the current crisis, that it's not a reflection of your value. It's a reflection of circumstances. Mm-hmm. And that these events should not change how you value yourself. And if it is, then that is an indication that you need to learn how to be happy. You need to learn how to accept and love yourself. And I think even more importantly, you need to learn the value that you have so that you can make sure that in a job search and for the next opportunity, that you're doing what's right for you.
Man, that could get, this could get deep, and I'm so excited about it. Because, you know, there are a lot of people right now, whether it be people that they're having to let go on their teams or furlough on their teams, or where you know that they're going to be hurt by it.
Yeah.
What can a leader do, or what could a friend do or a mentor do or whatever it may be? What role does somebody else play in helping support somebody going that, or do they have to go through it on their own?
That's such a good question. So I actually think that as a leader who's laying someone off, I think you have to be authentic and honest and transparent, and you have to be kind. That's one thing, you know, and I actually, when I say that, I'm recalling when I got laid off, it was absolutely the opposite of that. And it was demoralizing. Just the process itself didn't feel good. Mm-hmm. When in fact, there was no issue with who I am as a person, but the process itself made me feel really bad. So I think as a leader, you can make the process feel kind and gentle and clear and transparent. Now, as an individual though, no one can give you confidence. No one can explain your value to you except for yourself. You need to know that for yourself. So what I would say is that if you're really get clear on what you're feeling. So say you got laid off yesterday and you're feeling all kinds of things. What are those feelings? You're feeling fear. Where's that fear coming from? Go down the rabbit hole of understanding the root of that fear, because more often than not, it's something from your past and not actually something that's happening now. And it's your perception. And you can shift that perception and make it more real, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. Let's kind of shift gears here, because it's you wrote a book called The Genius Habit, which is, you know, most people when they think genius, they think, you know, Albert Einstein or some mythical figure out there that just shows up and they ace everything, right? You define it much differently.
Yes.
Explain to us, one, what you mean by genius, and then two, we're going to dig into why you think it's a habit.
So genius in my mind is, I use that language because what I observed in people was something that was innate within them, but it's also something that they were exceptional at. And I couldn't come up with a better name for it other than genius. But essentially, it is the thinking or problem solving that you're best at. In essence, it's how you approach work. It's what makes you intellectually challenged in a good way. And what's interesting about that choice of genius, because then, of course, I've really dug into the situation. Like Einstein's a great example, because we do think of him as a genius because of his IQ. But when you read his story and you learn about his life, it's actually the reason that he's so well known and he became so successful is that he was actually just doing what he was best at all of the time and from a very young age. So I think he's a perfect example of genius in the way that I define it. And the exciting thing about that definition is that everyone has a genius, and anyone can be a genius with their careers. It has much more to do with your own definition of success and achieving that, which can be as simple as loving what you do every day and having the impact that's aligned with your purpose and your soul.
So there is now a good time to reevaluate. You know, let's say someone's been laid off or furloughed, they're just not happy in their job, right? There's a lot of people. I mean, you opened the book telling a story about, you know, maybe we start there, sitting at a dinner table with a bunch of successful people. If someone's not happy in their job, or they're not fulfilled in the work that they're doing, or they've been laid off, is now the time to reassess what their genius is and what they're really called to do?
Well, I actually think it's critical when you're thinking about next steps, or when you're thinking of going into an interview, or you're even assessing another opportunity in terms of another job or whatever, because your genius and your purpose, they're two data points about yourself that if you are able to use them, not only are you guaranteed to have a great work experience, but you're also setting yourself for the success that you desire. And it also is a really easy, focused way to be able to look at another opportunity and establish fit more easily, because most people are unhappy at work because they don't have a job that's a good fit for who they are. They're there because of rules that they follow that society has handed to them. And it has more to do with what looks good versus what feels good. So the zone of genius, your genius and your purpose, can be your two data points that can guide you in those big decisions.
What are some questions? I always like to go as practical as possible, but
yes.
You know, we're starting to look at, someone's looking at different jobs, or they're looking to see if this job's a fit, or they got called by a recruiter. What questions do you coach people to ask to determine if a job's a fit? I mean, you even told the story about, you know, working at Google and figuring out that this wasn't exactly the right fit pretty quickly, or that startup that wasn't exactly the right fit. What can someone do beforehand so we don't have to learn the hard way 9, 12, 18 months later that this job isn't the right fit?
Well, I think the first step is knowing who you are and knowing your value. So the zone of genius is really important for knowing who you are and knowing your value. So that's a critical piece right there. That kind of allows you to be happy in the role. Then there's another component of the environment and the culture and the people you'd be working with, and which is equally important. So those are the two areas that you want to really dive into. Now, I would say with your zone of genius, that's a great starting point, because that allows you to look at the role and say, okay, here's all of the things that I would be doing. Will I be doing the thinking or problem solving that allows me to be intellectually challenged? That's a much more important question than thinking through, do I have the skills to do what's listed here? You want to be able to assess if you can be on fire, if you're intellectually engaged by what you're going to be doing. And so that's kind of a different perspective to bring to that process.
It's just such a different way to think about it. Am I going to be intellectually challenged in this role and in this job? And I would imagine that not many people think about that as you're suggesting. They're thinking about, I'm looking at this, you know, do I have the skills to do this? Can I do this? How quickly can I learn them? Versus, is this going to be stimulating to my brain every single day and to my heart every single day? What a different way to look at it, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's what's really important. And that's what I discovered in my process, is that we've been taught all of the, if you follow society's rules, it will guide you towards jobs that aren't the right fit. Learning what really matters for success is a skill, and it's something we all have access to. And a big component of that is being who we are. Everyone has the opportunity to be who they are. And again, it's not something we're taught, so it can feel, again, it's like a new habit. We can talk about the genius habit, but it's that simple. Once you know who you are, you can then more easily figure out and see if there's a place for you within an opportunity and a place for you to be highly engaged and motivated.
I'm going to ask you a question that I was definitely not going to miss today, because it's something I've been thinking about a lot. And I think a lot of people think about it a lot. I want to set this up because you're sitting at a dinner table with lots of successful people, Laura, and the question comes up of, if you could do one job that you're not currently doing, what would it be? Is that correct?
Yes.
And I think all of our brains get stimulated by that question. I'm a stockbroker. I'm a lawyer. I'm a doctor. And I get asked the question, I'm a manager, a frontline manager of a manufacturing team. If you could do any job, what would that job be? And I'm asking our audience that right now. I want you to think about that question right now. And what happened at this dinner table is everybody had a good answer. And you said, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. And they laughed at me.
I know, but, and I feel like that as well every single day. It doesn't mean though, I don't think I could be good at other things. And you know, I always tell people all the time, man, if I could just go outside of getting into politics one day, which I hope to do, but I would just love to be a college basketball coach. I mean, I just think I would just love it every single day. And I love what I'm doing now. But that timeline feels so long, Laura. It feels so long. Like, to get to be a head coach in college football, college basketball, it might take 10, 12, 15 years. Should people care about the timeline when they think about their genius and what their purpose is to do on this earth?
That's another great question. The timeline doesn't matter when you love what you're doing every day. And you will care less about it when you're doing work that's aligned with your zone of genius. That's an important distinction, because thinking about the timeline is representative of society's rules and an old, old school way of thinking about life and career. This is the new model where you actually love what you do every day. So you're not concerned about how long it's going to take you to get to a certain point in order to be a certain level of success. It's important to also talk about the distinction between the process versus the outcome. you must enjoy the process just as much, if not more, than the outcome. And that's also a shift because we're a very outcome-oriented society.
Find joy in the journey? Is that,
yes.
That's what you're
talking about? Well, and I also want to talk to you. This is the joy. This is, I think, important to say that this is the joy of the genius and the zone of genius is that there are infinite permutations of how you can apply your zone of genius to almost any job. So some people might think, well, this means I can only do this certain kind of job. Absolutely not. You know, my genius is seeing patterns in data and drawing insights from that data. I can apply that genius to so many different types of industries, the types of roles and types of being and operating. It's infinite. And I also can take, you know, I've created a business that's a reflection of my zone of genius. And we haven't talked about purpose, but I designed it specifically around my zone of genius, but it also has, there's infinite ways that it can expand and grow over time. There's no boxing in feeling with being who you are. If that makes sense. And the impact piece, the purpose piece is also so critical that's often missed as well. Because that's, again, it's connected to your psychology. So you must be able to see a core emotional challenge in your life, some usually psychological baggage you've had that really is a core central theme of your whole life that most people aren't aware of. Once you're able to identify that and then help other people with that same challenge, you then are able to tap into intrinsic motivation. So all of us have heard, I mean, if you read any books about the science of success or performance, you'll read about intrinsic motivation, which really is having endless energy for the work that you're doing. It's what everyone wants. How do I get access to this endless energy? Well, you have to be doing work that has a personal connection to you and be able to observe that same impact on other people or in the world in some way. So for example, mine is not being seen. That was my core emotional challenge, not being seen for who I was by my parents, and therefore helping other people see themselves for who they are is literally endlessly fulfilling to me. And there's so many ways that I can do that. And by just acknowledging that impact, I get so much more access to this infinite energy. It's really a critical piece that most people don't have access to or haven't learned.
Have you always known that it was about your work? It started about yourself, but it was going to translate to other people. Is that something that happened as you went along?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I knew, you know, I started this journey when I was 35. And I think at that point, I started to think bigger about my, like, what is the, you know, I had these questions. How can I make an impact in the world that's meaningful to me? How can I have meaning in my work? And prior to that, you know, the model that I learned from my parents or that society would tell me is that for meaning, you give back. You donate your time, you go work for a charity, or you volunteer on the weekends. And in my mind, I thought that was how you got meaning. But I felt like just volunteering my time randomly didn't give me a sense of meaning in the profound sense that I desired. So that was part of my inquiry when I began building my dream job, which was really understanding how I could create that feeling of purpose in my day-to-day work, not just on the side, as I had been taught that was what you did. And again, through my research and studying the science and the psychology of motivation, it soon became clear, and I became much more observant about myself. And once I saw my core emotional challenge, it all clicked. that was the real turning point for me in terms of getting purpose from my work. Now, I was already helping people, and this is something that I've noticed in all of my clients, is that you are helping people in a way that's connected to your core emotional challenge. You just aren't aware of it.
Mm.
And it might feel good in the moment because you're doing it, because you've got energy for it. But it's amazing how much acknowledging that and then repeating it more it's like you're able to go to the gas station for purpose, mm-hmm. versus feeling like it's a lucky, it was a lucky circumstance that happened. And that I think is the big shift that I know now. I know how to access purpose and impact in a way that's extremely meaningful to me at any time.
You mentioned your age, 35 years old when all this started. How concerned should our audience be about their age? You know, I use the analogy of a 22-year-old leaving school that, you know, or even with myself, I didn't, you know, it was not until I was much older until I had this moment where I said, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It came through doing other stuff. So how do you think about age? And, you know, is this something we have to kind of rush into and figure out right away? Or is this something we're patient with?
Well, I actually think this is my next body of work is how to parent your child to be in their zone of genius.
Mm.
So I believe that it oftentimes this questioning that comes, like I said, I started questioning what gives me meaning, what gives me purpose, how can I do the work that I love? I feel like I started to ask those questions in my mid-30s, which is probably a typical time to be thinking beyond. I know in my 20s, I was really more self-centered. I was just more about, let me travel the world and have a good job, but I wasn't thinking much beyond that. So I think in absence of knowing who you are, I think there's a certain point in your life that you start asking these bigger questions. And then if you commit to finding them, you'll find your way on this path. Now, that's also a path where you have not been raised to know and value and embrace who you are. And to also have been taught and encouraged to go be whoever it is you are and pursue a career that's aligned, that makes you feel good, not look good. I believe if you're parented in a different way, that you can always have this experience of work, this feeling of loving what you do and being intrinsically motivated. That's my hope and that's my vision for my daughter. And I'm crafting a body of work around that because I find it very, sad that, you know, a lot of my clients, sometimes 40s, 50s, don't know who they are and don't even know how to begin to use that in their careers and their jobs and are learning that later in life. And I don't think there's any mistakes. But I do believe that this kind of joyful experience, the sooner you can have it, the better.
Mm. Is it ever too late?
Oh, I don't think so. I think that everyone has their own journey. It's never too late. I think as we start to, you know, 50 is the new 30 and 70 is the new 50. And people with technology, as we're seeing, you know, with the one thing that COVID-19 is teaching us is that everything can be done from home. And I also get equally excited as much as I do about helping young children know who they are and parenting in a way that allows them to be who they are. I get equally excited about people in their 60s and 70s who potentially are retired and are really healthy and vibrant, and they could, you know, shift and start to learn who they are and create a whole different career at that stage of life. That's really a reflection of who they are and experience that joy then. I don't think it's ever too late.
And it's such an important message for our audience today. No matter where you are in your journey, no matter what's going on, don't settle. Don't settle. Like, you're made for more. And I love this message from Laura today because, you know, I hate to hear friends or even clients, they say they just don't like going to work. And it's yes, we're called to work. Everyone agrees with that. But don't settle. And particularly if you're out of work right now, like do this hard work right now, like go do the work. So you're not then in a position like you were previously in. So just take this advice from Laura today, because I think it's just, there might not be a more important time for Laura. And I cannot thank you enough for, I know you bring this to the surface every day, but I think it's so important right now. And let's end on some fun stuff. What's harder, leading at work or leading at home?
Leading at home.
2.5-year-olds are tough.
It's because at home, I'm not the boss.
Yeah.
No one's boss. Yeah.
Yeah. You get, name someone that you haven't given enough credit for in your walk and in your journey.
That I haven't given enough credit for?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, let me think. I'm going to go with my parents, because I think sometimes it's easy for me to talk about how they've been connected to my core emotional challenge and why. But I also, you know, I credit them for my work ethic, which is just such a critical thing for everything I do,
mm-hmm.
and for really doing the best that they could, given the times and how they were parented and how their generation, the tools that their generation gave them, which is very different from the tools my generation has given me.
You get to leave our audience with one bit of advice today. What would it be?
I think it's to really, you know, especially in this time, is to believe in yourself and know that you are, if greatness is what you want, then greatness is possible. That is absolutely something that everyone can have if the desire is there.
I'm inspired by you and your work. You've written a fantastic book. I've read it myself, The Genius Habit. Where can people get it? And then you have a new book coming out in September, a little shorter book. Yes. Tell us about both, and then certainly where people can find out more about your work.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I so appreciate that. Yeah. So if you want to check out The Genius Habit, that came out last year and it's sold. It's selling anywhere books are sold. You can always go to my website, lauragarnett.com, and join my newsletter to get free information every couple weeks, and there's links to the book there. And then on September 1st, the next book is called Find Your Zone of Genius. That's coming out, which interestingly, if you haven't read The Genius Habit, you could wait until September, because I think Find Your Zone of Genius is, we're calling it the appetizer to The Genius Habit. So if you're looking for a bite-sized piece, wait till September. And if you're excited to dive into the whole process, or I would say if you just got laid off, then I would definitely dive into The Genius Habit. And I will be offering some special tools for job seekers on my website soon. So definitely join the newsletter and you can have access to some free tools there.
Well, excellent. Laura, you're just doing some fantastic work that's so meaningful. And the people that take it seriously and invest in themselves, I know the benefit that they will experience from it. So please make sure you check out Laura and all of her work. We'll make sure to link to all the right places in the show notes. Laura, thank you so much for making time to come on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This has been so nice.